Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Once again, welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. I am very, very pleased tonight that you have taken time to come and join me for this broadcast as we begin to just delve in the Word of the Lord and just hear what it is that He has to say for His people that are seeking His face for this hour. Amen. Seeking His face for His glory, His anointing, His power, and most of all, His will for their lives. Just want to get right into the announcements real quick and then into the Word of God. First of all, every Tuesday, amen, at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us, my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, and myself for prophetic, Kingdom Lifestyle broadcast. I'm sorry, every Tuesday at 7 and every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m., Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursday nights, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, and that's every night on Thursday at 7 p.m. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That is our website, people of God. We invite you there to read up about us, learn more about us and our ministry, and even about the ministries that that are under our covering that we support financially, amen, spiritually, as well as emotional support and guidance by the leading of the Lord, ministries that are overseas. And speaking of those ministries that are overseas, we ask that you would pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, amen, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Also, if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come and minister, amen, at your church, please go to our contact page that is located on our webpage, and please give us as much detailed information, a good contact number or email as well, and someone will reach out to you within 12 to 24 hours. For those who would like to see us and hear us preach, you can go to our YouTube page under Bishop Works One. That's Bishop Works, one word, B as in boy, I-S-H-O-P, Works, W-O-R-K-S, and the number one. If you pull that information up or either find me, Prophetess Crystal, or my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, and you can hear, amen, us preach the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ on the YouTube. Amen. Leave us some shout outs as well to let us know, you know, that you heard us. Amen. And we will actually contact you back if you would like us to do so. Amen. And those are the announcements. Oh, before I forget, we do have a Facebook page. Go to my Facebook page, WOPD, Women of Prophetic Destiny, or you can go to my church Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, amen, and there you can leave a prayer request, praise report, you know, amen, whatever you need us to do, touch and agree with you, amen, concerning your situation, and we do believe that God is going to work that thing out on your behalf. We want to also hear what God is doing in the lives of his people, amen, amen, and amen again. Those are the announcements for this evening. Now, let us pray, and then let us get into the Word of God on tonight. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you. We glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we humble ourselves before you, God. We grab the horns of grace this evening. Father, we your people, we open up our hearts and our minds to you today. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask for forgiveness right now. Wash us and cleanse us. Forgive us for all of our unrighteousness. Forgive us for our mindsets. God, forgive us for any sin that we have held on to, that we have done knowingly and unknowingly. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and wash us in your blood. Wash our minds. Wash our souls. Wash our conscience, God. Purify our hearts in the name of Jesus. Do it now, God, on behalf of your people. Father, right now, speak to the hearts and the minds of the men and women of God who choose to do your will and your work and your way and your work, God. Continue to give them a spirit of boldness and courage that they will continuously speak forth your words in this hour, that they will not shy, that they will not step back, that they will move forward, that they will not take to the left or to the right, but that they will stay steadfast in your word in the name of Jesus. God, give them the courage and the boldness to preach the gospel. Give them the courage and the boldness to walk out signs, wonders, and miracles forever, giving your name glory, that they will not be discouraged, God, that they will not be swayed from the truth in the name of Jesus. Even now, God, as tonight, as I begin to minister your word, help me to minister the word as you want it to be ministered, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, let them not see me, but let them see you in me, the Christ in me, in Jesus' name. Let your words, God, begin to bring life. In the name of Jesus, life and light to your people. In Jesus' name, I give your name praise. I give your name glory. I give your name honor. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, man of God, woman of God, please just raise your hands and just give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Come on, give him some glory. Hallelujah. You're worthy, God. We bless your name. Invite him in where you are. Invite him where you are. Invite him where you are. Just give his name praise and worship. He deserves the glory. He deserves the honor. He deserves the praise. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Tonight, people of God, what the Lord has laid upon my heart to talk about mantles. And the reason why this begins to stir up in my spirit, and I'm going to digress because we've been talking about assignments in the book of Nehemiah, but I just want to take a temporary turn, amen, for this week. And then as the Lord sees fit, we'll get right back into the book of Nehemiah and continue on forward from there. But as many of you know, on last week, and if you don't know, we had an aunt that had passed who had gone on to be with the Lord. Powerful woman of God, saved for a long time, was married 60 years to the same man, raised three wonderful children, amen. But she loved the Lord with everything in her heart. She was a prayer warrior, huh? She not only was she a prayer warrior, but she also used her gift of singing, amen. And at the time when she was able and still had the strength, amen, she had formed sung with many gospel groups back in the day that I really had no idea that she sang with, and neither did my husband, for that matter. But she sung with Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers and other popular gospel groups that were out at that time. And when she became, when she got saved, amen, and, you know, got married and began moving on further in her gifts, she also took that gift and began to pour it out and teach and train others to give glory to God in song and give glory to God in praise and worship. And what was so touching, people of God, was that she had a wonderful turnout. And everybody, and I mean everybody, that had something to say about her, from her immediate family to her spiritual family, everyone that had something to say about her talked about how she loved the Lord and talked about her faith and talked about how she was a prayer warrior and how she was an intercessor and whatever, and I mean whatever, and whatever Aunt Gladys would pray for, along with other several women that would gather together every day at noonday prayer at Pinewood Tabernacle. I'm going to give a shout out to the church of Pinewood Tabernacle. And they would go in that room and they would go before the Lord every day, nonstop, for noonday prayer in a little small church. And God would move powerfully and mighty on behalf of his people. Amen. And many, many, many people's lives were changed and saved, and people were set free and delivered. I am, amen, a prodigal. My husband is a product. I don't want to say a prodigal. I'm a product. My husband's a product of Pinewood Tabernacle for the prayers, amen, that have gone up before God on behalf of me and others that are still here today, amen. And for many of you, you're still here today because of the prayers of the aunts, the uncles, the mothers, the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the prayer warriors, the intercessors. Somebody, you didn't just come to Jesus on your own. Let me tell you now, you didn't come to Jesus on your own because, the truth be known, you really didn't have a mind. Amen. Many of us sat up in church for many years before we actually had a mind, amen, to be saved. Things had to get bad for some of us. I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody. You weren't going to turn that corner, amen, until things had to get low. And you had to be at a place of a broken state until you finally reached up your hand and said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And it was those prayers of the grandmothers and the grandfathers and the deacons and deaconesses and the spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers, the aunts, the uncles, and so on, the mothers, the fathers of the church that held, that put a prayer covering over you, calling your name out in the middle of the night when you weren't even mindful nor cared, amen, about prayer, cared about what others thought. You were doing your own thing and you were glad about it, huh? But because of those prayers, God kept you. I'm going to tell you, and you know it and I know it. For some of us, God kept you. There were some things that you saw, things that happened to others, things that you were right there in the vicinity, but you managed to survive. Amen. Why? Because God had a purpose for you. He had his hand upon your life. He had his hand upon my life. And we are here today. So we can never get to a place where we believe and think that prayer is beneath us. We can't get to a place where we can't get into a corner and cry out to him. You can never get to a place, amen, where prayer becomes just something we do, but it's not a lifestyle that you live. I don't know about you, but that same anointing, that mantle where I'm going, that mantle of prayer has been placed upon my life. And for many of you, the mantle of prayer has been placed upon your life. You have that intercessor. You're either that intercessor or that prayer warrior. And however God chooses to deal with you, he'll wake you up. For some of us, he'll wake us up in the middle of the night and have us pacing the floor. For others, he'll put a face before us and just have us begin to moan and groan and travail. Haven't heard that word in a long time, huh? Have travailed until whatever the situation was, whatever the danger was, whatever needed to be brought forth out of the from out of the spirit realm into the natural, anyone that need to be birthed out, amen, from the spirit into the natural, and how the Lord just will begin to lay his hand up on you until whatever his will is to be birthed out, brought forth, spoken forth, preached out, whatever it may be, until that thing comes forth, amen. So don't knock, don't try to, you know, change the foundation of who you are. As they used to say, keep the hay and spit out the sticks. Everything that was old school wasn't bad. Huh? Everything that we learned in the old school church is still relevant today. Those are the things that kept us. The older I get, I find myself going back to the old school, not to the chains, huh? Not to the bondage. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about to the things that were foundational according to the word of God. And it was something that she had her grandson, they made room for those to speak. And it was beautiful because the family came forth and it was the grandchildren that decided that they wanted to speak on behalf of their grandmother. And as I turned around and looked through the room, I saw a sea of faces, amen, of older saints that are yet still holding on. And I saw faces of new saints that are coming into the kingdom. And the one thing that he talked about, her grandson came forward, and as he was speaking, he talked about his grandmother, and he made mention on how he watched his grandmother go from walking to being feeble and to having arthritis take hold of her body and twist it and contort it until she was in a wheelchair, and in that wheelchair she could only sit sideways and her hands contorted where she could no longer pick up a glass, she could no longer feed herself, she could no longer touch anything, amen, because the disease had crippled her body. But even though the disease crippled her body, it did not cripple her faith. She was still as powerful, amen, as she was when she was walking. And one of the things that he had made mention of, amen, as he was having this conversation with his grandmother, she said, son, when I was diagnosed with this disease, she said, I believed at that time that I had to bear it. So I took it upon me to bear. She said, and that is the mistake I made. And I'm saying that to say this. For some of you, you have taken things up on you that you believe this was your burden or your thorn in the side. But it isn't your burden or your thorn in the side. This is just something that the enemy has brought up on your life. And he has convinced you that God is giving this to you. But you need to step up and step forward and speak out into the atmosphere and bind up the devil. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? You need to use the authority that Christ has given you. And you need to begin to bind up and look in the word and find out what your blessings are. Find out what belongs to you. Find out what your rights are in the kingdom. And you need to begin to speak forth those things that be not as though they were. If that's it, because sickness is not of him. Amen. It's not of God. However, I have seen God. Listen to what I'm saying now. But I have seen God still use people with a thorn in their side, whatever that thorn may be. But I'm saying for men, some of you tonight, you may have taken on a problem, a situation. You have taken on a burden that God has not sent you. But the enemy has convinced you and has used an angel of light's voice to say that it is of him when it is not. And you need to begin to come against that, whatever that situation may be, and bind it up and take your authority back. Oh, yes. Take your authority back and begin to walk out and complete the assignment that God has given you. But for her, she said, I took on this burden when I did not have to because I believed that it was mine to bear. She said, I know better now. She said, however, what I have done is that it has increased my faith and I pushed my faith for my grandchildren and those that come after my grandchildren. And she said, my faith is towards you. And it was something that he said. He said, now, and that's getting to my scripture. I'm going right into it. He said, now, he said that grandma has gone. He said that there has been a mantle that has fallen. I feel the spirit of the Lord. He said, there's a mantle that has fallen. And he said, will you be the one to pick it up? Tonight, man of God, tonight, woman of God, child of the Most High King, I'm asking you tonight, mantles, which that began to stir in me, because after he said what he said, truthfully, the word of the Lord was spoken in the house. There did not even need to be a eulogy, because her life was eulogized right before us because of the testimonies of the people. But it was the power of what he said. He said the mantle, grandma's mantle, has fallen. He said, and now it is our job to pick up the mantle. Who will be the one to pick it up? He said she was a woman of faith. I feel Jesus. She was a woman of faith. And after that man said that, after her nephew made that statement, it began to stir something up in my spirit. And as my husband and I were heading back home to Florida, the question arose in our conversation, how many mantles have fallen by powerful men and women? And here's the thing, everybody is not on TV, everybody is not on YouTube, and everybody is not on the radio, okay? But nevertheless, they are known by heaven. And as heaven, as their time, as they have completed their work in the earth, and remember, mantles are spirits. And the spirit, that anointing is still alive. That spirit is still alive. That anointing is still alive and has fallen. So when that man or woman of God leaves the earth, the mantle is still here. How many mantles, and my husband said, and it really struck me, he said, how many mantles are still laying around that we as the church refuse to pick up? Oh, God, help me. How many mantles have fallen to the ground that we refuse, that we don't even see? Because we're too busy looking at something else that has nothing to do with anything about Jesus. Let me take it even closer. How many mantles have fallen to the ground, man and woman of God, that the Lord has placed you around? How many people, men and women, he has allowed to pour into your spirit and your soul and your life to bring change, bring you closer into the kingdom, closer to his presence, and they have gone on to be with the Lord, and you have not picked up the mantle. We're not talking, hear me and hear me well tonight, I'm not talking about trying to pick up a mantle and be a wonder. You have to understand that in the time and season that we live in now, the one man show, and you've heard it for years, and I'm going to say it again tonight, the time of the one man show is over. The mantles that fall are enough for everybody. There's a portion of for everybody to begin to operate in. But the question is, A, are you in a place to be able to pick up the mantle and carry it? Something about that mantle is that mantle will cause you to be conformed, to be shapen, to be constrained. Jesus. Ooh. And so often for many of us, that's a challenge because our spirits, our flesh is still too alive. Our flesh is still too wild. We still feel that what we have to say is important. We still feel that what we think is still important. We still feel that our word is greater than God's word. We still feel that we can handle it and our situations and our circumstances better than the Most High God can. We still feel that we are too important. And the thing about the mantle is that when that cloak comes up on you, when you begin to pick it up and put it on, it will constrain you, constrict you. It will strap, as my bishop said, Dr. Iona Lott, she said it will strap you down. It will hold you in. It will pull things tight. Any woman that's out there who has worn a girdle or any type of shapewear, excuse me, you know that shapewear pulls stuff tight, forms stuff down, straps it in, brings it up. And let's be honest, most of the girdles of back then in the 70s and 80s and even some now are very uncomfortable. For some, the girdles are such so, the shapewear is such so that you feel like you can't even breathe. And at times, the mantle will constrict you so. Anything that is not like him, anything that doesn't line up with him, it causes a battle that goes on. And so a friend of mine, a coworker of mine, was saying how she's come into Christendom. She's still a young babe. She's probably about 3 or 4 years old. However, she still has a lot of her flesh that's alive in her. And she said that she was being tested and tried. And I listened to her. And one of the things she was saying, how everything was going awry, and she was just like, oh, Jesus, I can't take no more. I can't take no more. I just, you know, just get up off me, get up off me. Wait a minute, wait a minute. And that's the thing about a mantle, is that even when things start going wrong, it starts constricting even more. It starts tightening even more. Because sometimes you feel like you can't breathe. But when you begin to allow yourself to be conformed and shapen into that cloak, that image, which is of Christ, when you allow it to form you and shape you, and you start becoming comfortable in it, and you start becoming confident in the anointing that is on your life, always giving glory to God. There's a difference between being confident and arrogant. But when you're confident in him, then whenever, wherever you walk, wherever you go, you don't lay that mantle down, or lay that cloak down, lay that girdle down. It will automatically be, your body will already be shapen and formed to it. So wherever you go, you're not trying to, and that's where the problem with some of us, we wear that cloak long enough until we think we're out of the eyesight of people. And like, well, child, I'm over here now, so I'm just going to lay this down for just a second. I can't lay it down. You can't lay it down either. It is you. Once you take on that call, take on that cloak, take on that anointing, take on that assignment, take on that task, just take on Jesus. The moment you begin to take him on, his image, his likeness, his mannerisms, as you begin to learn more about him, as you begin to learn how he walks, talks, and thinks and moves, amen, you begin to realize that wherever you go, he is. So you can't take him off and put and hang him up on a coat hanger when you feel like it. Get wild and loose, and then when you're done, you want to come back and put it on and act like, you know, I've always been. No, baby, once you have that mantle and that cloak, it's on you for life. It's there. That's why some of us will go places and people will look at you and say, aren't you a man of God? Aren't you a woman of God? Don't you go to church? You know why? Because you've been marked. The mantle, the cloak has marked you. Here it is in 2 Kings 2 and 9. For those of you who have been waiting to say, when is she going to get to the scripture? Here we are. Starting at the 9th verse, he says, let's take it up to the 8th. No, let's go to the 6th. That sounds good. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. This is Elijah talking to Elisha. So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. And it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over to dry ground, on dry ground. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you? Elijah said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12, and Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and he tore them into pieces. He also took up the mantle, there it is again, of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle, third time, of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elijah crossed over. Now here it is. We had Elijah following Elijah for a long period of time. Now you have to remember, even going further than that, when he first saw him, when God spoke to Elijah, Elijah, and told him, this is your replacement, immediately he put his mantle upon him. And for some of us, amen, the same thing that God has done to us is that when we got saved, even before we knew what a calling was, he had put his mantle upon us. How do you know that, prophetess? Because for some of us, amen, God has already spoken those things over us before we even wanted to know who we were, wanted to even be saved, didn't have a desire to want to know who he was trying to live all kind of craziness, for some of us, we were even doing well. Everybody wasn't doing bad that was unsaved. Let's be honest now. Everybody wasn't living a crazy life that was unsaved. They were living a well life. The issue was is that they didn't know Christ. Christ was not in their lives. Amen. So they weren't able to be fulfilled wholly and completely. But even at that, some of you who have praying grandmothers, praying mothers and fathers and grandfathers and uncles would sit there and tell you God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for you. He has place for you. God wants you. At least I know when I was a child, I would hear that all the time. Did not even realize, okay, what the purpose is. We one ear and out of the other. And for some of you, the same way, where he would tell you even before you had a desire to be saved, that he had need of you. Then one day, the minute he spoke that, he put his mantle up on you. When you said, okay, God, come into my heart and my life, save me, the mantle came upon you. And even then, God still continued to confirm what he was saying, because then he would send the man of God, the woman of God, the prophetic word. As you was reading his word, it would jump out at you, and he would talk about his calling that he placed upon you and where he was going to send you and what your purpose was and what his design for you was and what your assignment was in the earth, the mantle. But you had to walk it out. And the more you surrendered, that mantle became tighter. Now, here we have in this word, when he talked about in verse 8, now Elisha, with the J, took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. Huh? Now, when we look at that word mantle here, it's talking about the coat or the cloak or the robe. It was known as the sole garment of the prophet Elijah. Some people think it was sheepskin, you know, worn by the modern sheep herders of those days. But it was something that was tangible. Huh? Very tangible. And for many of us, the anointing is tangible. It's a splendor of glory. So he took up his mantle, but it was just something that was used as symbol to see that whenever you begin to be surrendered, amen, the more that you start saying yes to God, the more that you start saying, all right, God, this is going to be your will. I'm going to do this here. I need your help. But I'm saying yes to you. Then that mantle, that cloak, that anointing, that calling, that it starts shaping you. It starts pulling you. It starts pushing things out, pulling things in, strapping things up, laying things down. Starts challenging you, that mantle. And then it begins to work in your life. That's why when you would begin to stretch forth your hand, or as the Lord would lead you to pray for somebody and you would touch and agree with them, things would begin to move and happen. Why? Because he wanted you to know that he was with you. And that when you would open up your mouth according to his will, his divine order and purpose, things would happen. Said as he rolled it up and he struck the water, and it was divided this way and that. So the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And while they were talking, he said, all right, what is it that I may do for you before I am taken away? Here's the important thing we have to realize, people of God. If God has you, man or woman of God, to be a leader or a mentor, and you're pouring, you better be pouring into somebody the life of Christ. You better be pouring into them to make them better so that they can be who God has called them to be. Do not sit there and have people sitting up under your ministry so that they can become subservient to you, so that they can become subordinate to you, and you're not challenging them. You're not pushing them. You're not trying to get them to change into his image and his likeness but you're making many me's or many you's. That's not who God called them to be. You're just there to pour into them his word, pour into them his life, pour into them what they need so that they too can continue on the journey, the assignment that God has for them. If they're still sitting here and chewing and drinking milk from you and they've been sitting up under your ministry for 10, 15, 20 years, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. Now, either A, now if you're doing what God told you to do, and folks refuse to grow, that's not on you. That's not on you. The blood's not on your hand. You gave them the word. They're held accountable. But if folks are still sitting there and you refuse to preach to them and teach them and train them properly how to divide the word, help them to learn more than two scriptures, and even with the two scriptures that they know, to rightfully exegete the passage. If they're sitting here in your house or being led by you and they have grown no more than when they started, then something is wrong. Either A, you're not called to be their leader. B, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not trying to get in trouble on here tonight. Listen, he took the mantle. That mantle that represents the glory. He began to talk to them. He began to pour into him. Even though they knew he was going to be taken away, he still stayed right by his side. In Elisha, said, please let me have a double portion of your spirit upon me. Now here we're sitting here today in today's church asking God for a double portion. We're asking double portion, Lord, I need a double portion. But I really don't think we understand what we're really asking for God, from God. And I believe for some of us, the motive is not right. The thing about Elisha is that his motive was right when he was asking for the double portion. Because with a great anointing comes great sacrifice. And let's be honest, a lot of people don't want to sacrifice nothing. Don't sacrifice no time. Don't want to sacrifice no sleep. Don't want to sacrifice turning their plate down. Don't want to sacrifice prayer. Barely want to sacrifice with the church. Do you hear what I'm saying? If it makes them uncomfortable in any sort of way, they don't want to do it. They got something to say about it. In other words, if it's going to inconvenience me, I don't want to do it. Well, baby, you need to get up out of the ministry right now. If you don't want to be inconvenienced, you ministry is not for you. Go get you a day job. Don't come talking about full-time ministry. Don't get you a day job. Go to work to somebody from 9 to 5. Go home and live your life. Don't even say you even got a calling. Because if you have an anointing and you're saying, for God I live, for God I die, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it, then expect to be inconvenienced. Why? Because ministry happens at any point, at any time. God doesn't have a set time like we got. If he wants somebody to be ministered to because he wants to get a word to them and he wants to use you to do it, you better be ready. Don't talk, well, why are you here? Can you get here and my schedule is full. Can you get here on two? Maybe I don't have that day. Maybe the enemy is beating me upside the head and telling me to end it right now. And you talking about come back next week. That's why we need to be training our people. That's why we need to be pouring into our people, showing people how to fight spiritually, showing people how to war in the spirit, showing people how to pray in the spirit so that when they can't get to you till next week, at least they know how to grab a hold of the throne or the horns of the altar and pray themselves through, rebuke the devil, cast him out of their life, out of their mind, out of their home, whatever the situation may be, and begin to call on the angels of the Lord and see the power of the Most High God move. We want this devil portion, but I really don't think we understand what the devil portion means. We're looking at things. Give me my money. Ooh, more money. Hey, more buildings. Hey, more notoriety. Hey, more doors opening up so I can minister and be in somebody's pulpit. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I want. No, we're talking more. When you're talking about more of the devil portion, you're also asking for more of the challenges. You're asking for more of the persecution. You're asking for more of the hatred. You're asking for more of the hell house to rise up against you. Now, I'm not saying don't ask. If that's what the Holy Ghost has truly put up on your heart, he will drive you and push you in your spirit to ask for that, because that's what he wants to give you. But don't randomly get up here asking for things that you don't have a clue what you're asking for. Let me get a double portion of your spirit be up on me. The thing with Elisha is because his motive was right and pure. For many of us, we got impure motives, impure motives. We don't have the heart of ministry. We don't have the heart of people. As long as it fits within our time frame and our time schedule, and as long as somebody's shouting my name out, then I'll be all that I can be. But when my time is up, so is my anointing. There are people that will sit there and wait. You don't know how God moves in situations, circumstances. People will sit there and wait. They can't get up there during the press. And they've been fighting in their spirit the whole time. And maybe right after you're about to walk out the door, they're like, can I talk to you? But you have to be so in tune with the spirit. Because there have been times that I was ministering, times my husband was ministering, or we were ministering on our way out the door, and the Holy Ghost would turn around and say, talk to that person right there. I ministered to many people after the benediction because he wanted me to minister to. Can you do that? Or is it fitting in your time schedule? I got to get in my car because I got to catch my plane. I got to get back to the hotel. I got to get here so I can eat real quick. Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, verse 10, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. So for those of you, for some of you, God has placed men and women in your life, powerful men and women of your life that he's allowed you to get close to. He's allowed you to see the undergarments. He's allowed you to see the secret places. And if you do not get what you need, don't take it for granted because he has you there, that those people are always going to be there or that you're going to always be there. I'm not saying that God is going to come in and take somebody out, but a situation may come where he say, okay, now I need you to move over here to another state, or I need your those spiritual parents or whoever's in your life at that time, I need them to move over here. There's a situation that separates you. You don't know how long the timetable is that God has you in the presence of those people. So while you're there, you better get all you can, learn all the lessons you can learn so that you can go to the next place and be prepared. Your foundation will be sure. Excuse me. My spiritual mother, Mother Estella Boyd, who has gone on to be with the Lord, I had only 3 years with her. But in those 3 years, I had to dive and dive deep. Number one, it's because I had a husband who was already ministering. And I came from nothing, going to church, but the church wasn't in me, to be married to somebody who was already at the ministerial level. So God had to basically turn on the fire hose, if you like to say, and pour it down, fill it up quick, so that I could raise up quickly. And I only had three and a half years, I believe, with the woman of God. While others had a lifetime with her. Others had 20, 30, 40 years, some had 10, some had 2, some only had 1. But in those 3 years, I had to get everything that I was supposed to get from her. I had to get all that foundation that I needed from her, that anointing, the fruits of the Spirit that I was able to see. I sat at her table. We sat at her table many times and supped with her. And let her pour and pour and pour and pour and pour. And I had no idea that God would separate us. I thought I was going to be there forever, for at least another 5 or 6 years. But the Lord didn't see it such. And then he was trying to launch me, but because I would not allow that mantle to constrain me and constrict me, because all the while I was basically in the school of the advanced, fast-paced. And that anointing, that mantle was pulling and tightening. And I had a very hard time with it, people of God, because I went from 0 to 1,000. I know I'm over-exaggerating, but go with me for a minute. I went from 0 to 100 in like 60 seconds. And I had only a short time to do it because of the call that God had placed upon my life. Didn't I have time to mess around and go other places? And at the times that I did drag my feet, believe me, baby, I paid for it. And so I'm saying this, while you're with your spiritual covering, your leader, your mentor, your apostle, your prophet, whoever God has you with, and you know that God placed them in your life, don't sit there and become comfortable. Don't sit there and become lax. Don't sit there and become lazy. Don't just think they're always going to be there. Get the lessons. Yes, while you're laughing with them, while you're joking with them, while you're learning about them, get the spiritual lessons. Get them deep. Let them take root in your life. Because you're going to need them in the next place that God has for you to go. And if you miss the lesson and you go over to the other side and you don't have it, you're not, instead of you being a conqueror, you'll be conquered. And then you'll have a long fight so that you can overcome. When you would already have had that peace, you've already would have passed that test during those times that you were laying at the feet of your leader or your spiritual father, spiritual mother. So he says, you've asked the hard thing, nevertheless, if you see me. So while you're with them, while you see them, take the portion that you're supposed to take. Don't waste the time. Don't let it go slack, because when that mantle falls, you got to be able to pick it up and put it on. When I'm taken from you, nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be. But if not, it will not be so. So it leads me back to the question that my husband and I had in the car on our way back. He said, how many mantles have fallen and we have not picked them up? They're just still laying here in the earth. Because we did not learn the lesson. Because we took for granted. Because we didn't pay attention. Because we got lax. Because we got comfortable. So now that they're gone, now that they're moved, now that God has shifted things, you don't have what you need for this place that you're in. And you're crying out, oh God, why? How come? What happened? Well, what happened is that when you see me, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be so. So if you were to learn the lesson when God shifted you or them, you had what you needed and you took that with you and it was so. So you prospered. But if you were playing around, still trying to live in the baby stages, still not going forward, still not refusing to grow up, still refusing to take responsibility, still refusing to pray, still wanting people to hold you up, couldn't lay no hands on nobody, can't pray a headache off, the whole situation, you're still playing around, still talking that crazy stuff you're talking, then when it's been shifted, when things have shifted, you're looking, and now it's not so. He said, then it happened as they continued on and talked Then suddenly a chariot of fire appeared. So here Elijah and Elisha were still together. As the chariot appeared, excuse me, and separated them, the whirlwind came. I'm paraphrasing right now because for time's sake. Elijah saw it, cried out, said, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. He saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them. So in other words, he grieved. Nothing's wrong with grieving. While we were at that funeral, they grieved. Nothing's wrong with the grieving process. Grieve, but don't get stuck. I don't know why I just said that, because that sure wasn't in my thoughts. Grieve, but don't get stuck. Children of Israel were only allowed to grieve for 30 days, and then he was like, okay, you got to get up and move on. And for some of us, we're still grieving for people. We're still grieving for times past. We're still grieving for things that were just, it happened. It was for that time. But now there's another. It's time to turn the corner. And we refuse to turn the corner because we're still looking about what we had, what it was. I remember when it was just like, took me back. Turn the corner. Grieve, but move. And that was one of the things that I heard in the funeral that the young man was talking. He said, we're grieving, but the mantle has fallen and we have to pick the mantle up. Will it be you? And even though he was talking to the family, he was talking to everybody, because that actually began to stir some things up in all of our spirits. The saints that really heard what God was saying, will it be you? The mantles have fallen and you're still sitting here looking around. When are you going to pick it up? When are you going to get strength in your hands, in your feet, to pick up what has been laying there that is dormant? We've been praying, asking God for the answer, and really the answer has come, but we don't realize that the mantle has already fallen and we cannot see to pick it up. We're still looking for it. We're still looking it to be in somebody else's hands, or because we have seen somebody else operate in it, well, it must be for them. But listen, get your portion and move forward in what has been given unto you. Some of us are looking at mantles. Well, that ain't long enough. That's not big enough. That look a little bit too small. I don't know if I want to work on that. I don't like the color of that thing. It's not about that. If he showed it to you and pick it up. Things are needed in the earth. Things are needed in the kingdom. Pick it up. Whatever that may be. Healing, pick it up. Huh? If that may be one that you're the next teacher, pick it up. Pick it up if you're a preacher. Pick it up if you're a prophet, apostle, pastor, teacher. Whatever it may be, everybody's not in the fivefold, but whatever God has laid a mantle, whatever mantle is laying there, maybe you're good with finances, pick it up. Because the kingdom of God needs you. The world needs you. But they need you through Christ. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. Grieve, but move on. Grieve, but push on. I'm not saying you won't hurt. I'm not saying you're not going to cry. I'm not saying you're not going to be wounded. I'm not being crass and harsh and like, you know, suck it up. I'm not saying that at all. Because there's going to be things that come that will knock the breath right up out of your body. But what I'm saying is, don't get lost. Don't let the enemy come and that grief, amen, settles into depression, which settles into bitterness. And we have a lot of people that are bitter because they did not know how to get past the grief. He saw it. He cried out, "Father, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen." So he and his horsemen, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. Verse 13. He also took up the mantle of Elisha. that had fallen from him, the mantle. So Elijah's gone now. And it's something that was said, and I believe it was my husband that made the statement, and it's very true the more I think about it. For many of us, many people are trying to pick up people's mantles and they're still here. And you're wondering why nothing's changing, why you're not getting anything, because they're still here. The mantle is being used. You don't need the mantle while folks are alive. The mantle, when people pass on, mantles fall. We just saw it right here. Elisha could not get Elijah mantle or cloak until he was gone. So quit trying to run after trying to suck people's anointing off of them. They're still here. Leaving that alone. He took up the mantle that Elisha had fallen from him. Now we see the glory has been transferred. The anointing has transferred. And the anointing is, and God was showing him that I'm with you just like I was with him. Now, when you pick up that mantle, you got to use it. You got to use it. Don't sit here and I got the mantle. I got the mantle. What good is it if you're not using it for the glory? What good is it? What good is it if you're not helping anybody? What good is it if you're not showing forth nobody his kingdom and his glory, his righteousness? What good is it if you're not giving no one else a testimony unto his name, saying what you did, but what God did? Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, I thank you. I thank you for this word. Lord, help us, your people, to see the mantles that have fallen and be able to see where they are and to pick them up and begin to operate in them. Lord, forgive us for those mantles that have fallen that we have rejected because we didn't think they were good enough. We didn't think they were pretty enough. We didn't think that they were shiny enough. We didn't think they were going to lift our name up in lights. Forgive us, God, for those times that we stood with those that you have placed around us in leadership and we did not learn the lessons that we should have learned. We did not obtain the information that you were trying to get us to partake in. We did not receive the impartation, God, that we should have received. Help us now. Forgive us and help us now. Turn the time back, God, off of on our lives. Help us to get focused again. Help us to go forth in the things of you, to grab the mantles and move forward as Elijah called upon your name. As Elisha called upon your name, that we too will be able to strike the water, walk on it or watch it divide or whatever the miracle may be, that we too will see your glory as you were with them. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give your name praise and glory and honor. Now, if those of you who are not saved, repeat these words after me. Lord, come into my heart. Wash me from my sins. Forgive me for all my sins, all my unrighteousness. I want to live for you and I want to serve you. Save me, God. Save me to the utmost. In the mighty name of Jesus, I will live for you and I will serve you all my days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome, man and woman, into the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries pray that you will be led, spirit-led, to a Bible-believing and teaching church that will teach and train you in the proper things of this Bible. Teach and train you your purpose, your design, your assignment, amen, and teach you how to operate in the kingdom of God. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Learn more about us, amen, Apostle McQueen and myself. Pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world and help us to support our sons and daughters that are in ministry overseas, our schools, our orphanages, amen, and as they continue to move forward and for their lives. Listen, I am Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I love each and every one of you, and I will see you again next week, Thursday at 7 p.m. for another broadcast of Kingdom Lifestyle, Prophetic Atmosphere. Be blessed in the Lord.